Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business. From liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Liz Truss has been, if anything, certainly as bad as Johnson on the populism agenda.
She wants people to work hard and she hates people being told what to do.
The markets are looking very, very closely at political pronouncements.
Together, we can ride out the storm. We can rebuild our economy and we can become the modern, brilliant Britain that I know we can be.
You're listening to Bloomberg UK Politics, your daily guide to the corridors of power. I'm Ewan Potts.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Coming up, the Queen's funeral on Monday will be a moment of national significance, but also an international one with dozens of world leaders attending. We'll be discussing the diplomatic importance with John Kampfer from Chatham House.
And King of the Polls, YouGov will be joining us for a look at support for the monarchy and the new king ahead of what promises to be a very busy week for politics next week.
One of the things causing a stir in Westminster today, a story first reported by Politico that a Chinese government delegation has been refused access to attend the Queen's lying in state.
Yeah, we mentioned some unhappiness yesterday, didn't we, amongst Conservative MPs about China's access this week. What's the story here?
Well, Politico says the Speaker, Lindsay Hoyle, declined a request for Chinese officials to be allowed access to Westminster Hall. The Commons and the Lords speakers do have authority over the Palace of Westminster, which includes the Hall. The Speaker's spokeswoman and the House of Commons spokesperson declined to comment when contacted by Bloomberg. But last year, the Speaker's banned the Chinese ambassador from entering Parliament. That was after Beijing imposed sanctions on a number of British politicians who'd been critical of the Chinese treatment of Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang. That ban is still in place. Now, elsewhere, the Foreign Office has invited China's president to attend the funeral on Monday as head of state. Now, President Xi is not expected to attend in person. The South China Morning Post reporting that China's vice president was likely to go in his place. So that raises the possibility that, on one hand, we might have Chinese officials allowed into Westminster Abbey, but not into the Parliament building, which, of course, is just next door.
Yeah, I think six countries not invited to the funeral on Monday. Of course, all of this speaks to the undercurrent of diplomacy currently happening around the Queen's funeral. So many heads of states are coming. It's going to be a chance to have some of the backroom chats that most leaders only get with each other once or twice a year. Logistics, of course, also highly sensitive, with diplomats negotiating over which leaders can take a car and which have to take the bus. Well, let's speak now to John Kampfner, Executive Director of the UK in the World Initiative at Chatham House. John, thanks so much for joining us on the programme today. Now, this is a huge diplomatic gathering with, of course, a huge amount of choreography. What are the potential pitfalls for all of this?
Hi there. They are endless. They are already, it's fascinating, just as you have set out, who is invited, who's not invited. Then we are and that's very much, by the way, related to the vote at the UN General Assembly at the start of March, just a few days after Putin's invasion of Ukraine, about who decided to endorse Russia and Putin. The Chinese one is different. And as you say, that is Parliament only, Parliament estate only. That is not the government and the monarchy inviting heads of state to attend the funeral on behalf of their countries. So when we are, it's everything, as you say, it's a question of who gets to drive or be driven and who gets to have to clamber onto the bus. It is who sits where, in which row, in Westminster Abbey. And a lot of that is going to be around etiquette rather than diplomacy. Heads of state will come at before deputy heads of state, who will come before heads of government, who will come before ambassadors, and it was ever thus. But the really interesting question is who is going to be talking to whom? And that's partly an issue for the UK and UK foreign policy and Liz Truss being brand new and all of that. But it's also expect a lot of discrete conversations among heads of state and heads of government among themselves.
I was very interested to hear that this is to do with opinions on Russia and the war, because, you know, awful as that is, you know, it's a very recent event in foreign affairs, isn't it? And, you know, the Queen's reign has been very long, but it's really as sort of current as that, is it?
Yes, I mean, it's broader than that. Those countries just happen to be the countries that Britain has the worst relationships with anyway, and I would say most Western countries would probably, if they had a list of five or six countries they wouldn't like to invite to things, it would be them. But when you think back at the Queen's reign herself and her diplomacy, her non-speaking diplomacy, so to speak, over all that time, goodness, she has had enough ogres in Buckingham Palace and in Windsor over the time. Nicolae Ceaușescu, the Romanian leader, who was executed on Christmas Day 1989, right after the coup, one of the worst Warsaw Pact leaders. She's had Putin, she's had Xi Jinping himself. She's had all kinds of, and she had Donald Trump, and you could tell she didn't think much of him. All the way through, she's had people that, for a lot of British public opinion, we would regard as unsavory, but those were the days when hugging people close, even if you didn't like them, was the way to go. Now it is very much a more binary set of relationships, who is friend and who is foe.
This is, of course, a funeral. It's a solemn event, but is there a diplomatic opportunity, without sounding mercenary about it, is there a diplomatic opportunity here for Britain to cement some of those friendships and perhaps tackle some issues that could be to a national advantage?
Short term, yes. I mean, the eyes of the world will be on London, and you can say they have been on London for the last 10 days already. That I don't think we should overplay. I mean, for Liz Truss, I mean, she was only in office for 2 days before the Queen died, and she's incredibly new, and she's not been able to do normal politics in the course of this mourning period for the Queen. That will start in earnest again Tuesday, Wednesday next week. For her, it's really, really important. We thought that her first real multilateral outing was going to be in New York for the United Nations annual meeting, but no, she's got a chance to talk to a lot of people. She and they will all have to be incredibly discreet about the way they do that. But I would also caution a little bit. The stock of the Queen was, as we have all seen, incredibly high. That obviously has a certain benefit for the UK, but the stock of Britain and the stock of the British government over the last several years, particularly in Europe, but further afield as well, has been really quite poor in so many places. Boris Johnson being disparaged, being seen as unreliable, as not following the rule of law, as being a bit of a clown. All of that is going to take a lot of reversing. Liz Truss has a different personality, but very much a sort of Britain first, quite hard right-wing ideological attitude. It'll be fascinating to see how she applies all of that in her own way now as the incumbent in number 10.
Yeah, and she'll get a chance to meet with the most important world leader of them all, we're expecting, as Joe Biden comes to the country on Monday. Do we have any sense of how long that meeting might be and what Liz Truss will want to raise with the US president?
My understanding is that they will be talking on Sunday, and actually a lot of the world leaders will be in the UK from Sunday. She will be dividing her time between 10 Downing Street, but also not the Prime Minister's traditional grace and favour place in the countryside Chequers, but Chevening in Kent, because Chequers is under short-term repair. But she will have the opportunity to talk to Biden. It will be their first encounter with her as Prime Minister. The absolute, well, there are two areas, one where Britain and the United States are in very strong alignment, and that is in the need to arm and support Ukraine. The area where they are absolutely not in alignment is relations with the European Union, and particularly the Northern Ireland Protocol, that part of the agreement that determines the relationship between Britain and Northern Ireland and Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. The Brits have, according to the Europeans, gone rogue on this. They've pretty much torn up the deal that London had signed. And the already bad relationships with the EU are set to become a lot worse, which is why, actually, the presence of President Macron, who trusts herself during the leadership campaign for the Conservative leadership, couldn't quite work out whether he was a friend or a foe of the UK, a remarkably cack-handed display of lack of diplomacy, and actually just craziness, because Britain and France, militarily, security-wise, and so many other ways, are joined at the hip. He has been effusive in praising the Queen and talking about the incredibly strong bonds between the two. That has been a very overt olive branch to Truss. Let's see if she takes it.
Well, is this an opportunity for her to work on those relations? She's already met the Irish Taoiseach Micheál Martin in Belfast. He's going to be at the funeral as well. Is this an opportunity to see Liz Truss leading in a new direction on those relations?
Yes, it is. And it's a very important relationship. Now, a lot of people discount, in all countries, what people say during election campaigns, whether they're general elections or whether they're party leadership elections. People say what they think is necessary to get them over the line and to win whatever contest it is. What matters is what happens when you have actually won and when you have far weightier responsibilities. And what has so frustrated so many countries, Europe, but beyond Europe as well, is that Britain's previous relationship, its characteristics of being seen as rather sort of dogged and but always reliable and trustworthy and abiding by the law, have pretty much since 2016 and certainly since Boris Johnson's tenure of 2019, have been thrown out of the window. One European ambassador said to me only a few months ago, it's fine if we know what Britain's position is, even if we disagree with it. What we want is reliability, but we never know if what they say to us on a Monday, they're going to stick to by Tuesday.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So, there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus & Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
You know success when you see it. Or you think you do. The people in the spotlight. Athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Now, what are people's first impressions of King Charles III? Charles has been monarch now for just a few days, admittedly not a normal week in the country's history, but YouGov have done some early polling on public opinion. Well, let's speak to Tanya Abraham, Research Director at YouGov. Tanya, thanks so much for joining us on the programme today. What's the general view of King Charles so far, and how has that changed over recent weeks?
Well, at YouGov, we have asked various questions about the monarchy, about the royal family, and generally speaking, the majority think that King Charles is coming off, you know, fairly positively at the moment in the aftermath of the events that we've seen in the past week. We have seen that around 3 in 4 think he has shown good leadership. Around 2 in 3 think or expect him to be a good king. But there are differing opinions when it comes to age, and we know that age is a kind of defining factor when it comes to opinions of the royal family and of the monarchy, where generally speaking, older people have more favourable opinions than their younger counterparts.
Is that just to do with Charles, though, or is that to do with general opinions of the monarchy?
It cuts across the board, really, when it comes to age. If we think specifically about King Charles to start with, around half of 18 to 24-year-olds have thought that he's shown good leadership, compared to around 90% of those aged over 65. When thinking about Prince Charles, or now King Charles, as a king and whether he would be a good king, 46% of 18 to 24-year-olds think he'd be a good king, compared to 78% of 65-plus. So there is that difference, but even when it comes to the monarchy, at the moment we're seeing that around 2 in 3 think that the monarchy will be good for Britain. Just 12% think it will be bad. But again, when we look at the age differences, we can see that just a third of the youngest age group, that is 18 to 24-year-olds, think that it will be good for Britain, compared to 82% of the oldest age group who think it will be good as well. So there are stark differences between age. But generally speaking, when it comes to the current opinions of individual royal figures, we're seeing a kind of uplift in favourability, and usually this happens around events such as the Jubilee, even Prince Philip's passing last year. Many senior figures saw their favourability rating increase. So we'll need to see if this opinion is sustained over time, and how, if at all, it changes.
I wonder, given that the coverage of the royal family has been overwhelmingly positive since that we learned the news of the Queen's passing last week, and it has also been all-consuming, does that facilitate a positive opinion of the monarchy and of King Charles?
I think that's a really interesting question, because at YouGov we've also asked whether people think there has been too much, too little, or about the right level of media coverage when it has come to this event. And nearly half of the British public think that there has been too much coverage. 41% think there's been about the right level, and just 2% think there's been too little. So because, you know, things have been dominating the news, they've been dominating the media for at least a week now, especially in the UK, this has kind of, I guess, brought the issue to the forefront of many people's minds. But what we do know is that over many years, we've tracked favourability ratings of individual figures. So we can see how this has impacted, how this has changed, depending on what has been going on.
Now, what about the issue of Charles speaking out on political issues, something that the Queen never did, but something that Charles has spent much of his life doing? Presumably he will do less of it now he's king, but have you done any polling around that?
We have, and we found that around 53% think it is appropriate for him to speak about issues that he cares about. And we know that King Charles has in the past spoken about things like the environment, about young people as well, climate issues. But now he is in the position of a monarch. We'll have to see how that changes, and whether he will kind of continue to speak out about the issues that he cares about, or whether he will kind of withdraw from that more outspoken position. Again, if we look at the age split there, 70% of 18 to 24-year-olds think it is appropriate for him to speak out, compared to just 36% of 65 and over. So just half of the older age group think he should speak out. And this could be to do with things like younger people perhaps being more liberal, kind of open-minded, wanting to have the ability to have more independence in thought, and they kind of appreciate that aspect of it. But whether this translates into what he envisages now that he is the monarch is something that remains to be seen. But the fact that just over half, 53%, think it is appropriate, suggests that people would be open to this.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating to hear the difference in perceptions based on age. I was wondering, do you have data that breaks down on other criteria, class, ethnicity, other factors that might influence perceptions of the monarchy?
We do have data that breaks it down by different demographics. There isn't much of a difference when it comes to those other kind of variables in the same way that age is showing. So I think the best kind of factor or influential kind of pinpoint that we can use to imagine or decipher what drives people's opinions is really age. There may be some regional differences when it comes to where people live in Britain, but generally speaking, age is the clearest defining factor.
Now let's widen this out a bit and talk about the new Prime Minister. It's been quite an incredible week to become Prime Minister of the UK. Perhaps it's a little bit early for polling on this, but do we have any indications of where the public stand on Liz Truss and the impression that she's made as Prime Minister in her first week?
Well, it's certainly been an eventful, premiere for Liz Truss as Prime Minister. And as a country, we've seen huge constitutional changes just over a very short period of time. What we do know is that the public's perception of Liz Truss's leadership after the Queen's death is showing that 39% think she has been doing well, 18% think she's been doing badly. So it's not a kind of overwhelmingly glowing report in the first kind of few days, but it is a good indicator as to what people think about her. If we look at the kind of current voting intention polling at the moment, Labour still has a 10-point lead. So they're on about 42% compared to the Conservatives at 32%. But we haven't seen much of a change since the events of the past few days. So the gap, the lead that Labour have at the moment has been going on for a little while now. And we'll just have to see, especially with the cost of living crisis, the energy bills, the rising energy bills that the country is facing, we'll have to see how the public view Liz Truss's plan and how to tackle these issues in the near future.
So, just if I understand it correctly, based on the data that you have, despite the fact that normal politics has essentially been suspended, it hasn't really moved the dial for any political issue or politician in terms of public opinion of them.
At the moment, there's not been a clear kind of shift or movement towards it. But we do know that when we think about the important issues at the time, currently the economy is seen as an important issue by 71% of the British public. And this is reflective of the fact that the cost of living, energy bills, the affordability issue is one of the big things, or if not the biggest thing going on in the country at the moment, aside from obviously the news of the royal family. So how this will be tackled, whether the decisions about cost of living, the energy cap, energy bill caps that have been proposed, and how that plays out, we'll see how that goes. But at the moment, the economy is one of the most important issues.
Tanya, thank you very much for taking us through all of that insight. That's Tanya Abraham there, Research Director at YouGov.
Bloomberg UK Politics. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way. From design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/greenfestival.